This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and all this week we'll be talking about ways we can pass the time and keep ourselves occupied and entertained even while we are hunkered down. So today we're talking games of the video and board variety. Games are a great way to get all ages in the family in one place doing something in real life together. But then there's also the option of connecting virtually in multiplayer games online for those who are not in your pod. Polygon senior reporter Nicole Carpenter joins us for this week's review preview with a rundown of some of her favorite gaming ideas. Nicole, welcome back.
Hi, thank you for having me again.
Okay, we have to start with Among Us because it is everywhere in the past few months.
Yes.
Got teenagers playing it, adults, representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar played it to get out the vote. Now, it's been around since 2018. Why does it seem to have become such a huge deal in the last few months?
Right. So in the last few months, it's become overwhelmingly huge. And I think that's because of the social aspect of it. It's a game where you and a crew of players are on a spaceship doing various tasks. And some of the players on there are imposters. They are not part of the crew and they're trying to sabotage and kill them and, you know, kill other people on board. And so the fun of it is that players need to guess who the imposter is. You know, they're going around being sneaky, so hopefully not giving that away. And it allows for this, like, social debate, like, really great banter and kind of mischief to figure out who the imposter is.
So this may be, this is really basic for people who don't usually use this kind of entertainment. How does one start?
Well, the game is free on phones, on smartphones, mm-hmm. and it's $5 on Windows PC. So it's on you can buy it on a platform called Steam, and from there it's very easy. You just start playing. You can group up with your own friends by mm-hmm. creating these different lobbies, but you can also play with strangers too. But I will say it's a little bit more fun with your friends.
Why is that?
You know, you already have that rapport there. It's fun to kind of say I'm the imposter, and it's fun to kind of place that blame on someone else when you know that, you know, you're secretly the imposter.
And is this one of those games that can span ages?
Yeah, totally. You know, there's nothing there. I guess there's some kind of cartoon violence, but the fun of it really is the social aspect, and that can be as appropriate for any age as you want it.
That's Among Us for those of you who've heard about it and wondered what it was. Let's go to another family-friendly game that's on your list, Jackbox, which you call the ultimate party social game. All right, let's break that down. What makes it the ultimate?
Right. It's very ubiquitous and it's very easy to pick up. You can stream it on your TV and players access it through their phones. So they input, you know, they do their input through their phone. And there are some really, really great games. It's kind of a collection of games. So there's all different choices. But my favorite is called Quiplash, and there's a new version of it in the Jackbox Party Pack 7, which just came out. And it's kind of a thing where you're answering prompts, and then players, they put them together, and you vote about whose is the best or funniest. So it's kind of like the prompts are stuff like things not to say to your grandma. And then, you know, there's a whole wide range of answers for there and you get to vote which one is the best.
Oh, so it's whoever's got sort of the funniest or the cleverest quip would win that round.
Yeah. Yeah. And this can be as, you know, boisterous and ridiculous as you want it to be. Or it could be very, very family friendly.
Okay, that's Jackbox. Let's go to board games. Let's think about things that we can touch and we can do in our homes. You're recommending a board game called Wingspan. Oh my gosh, I feel like we should have WNYC's birder in charge, Kate Hines, here. It's for a bird enthusiasts. Explain what Wingspan's about.
It's fantastic. And I think that a lot of people might be skeptical when you hear it's about you're attracting, the goal of the game is to attract birds to your nature preserve. And you do that through card-based gameplay. So you're dealing cards and there's some dice. So it is a standard board game, but it is gorgeous. And I think that a lot of players who appreciate nature, we're going to be inside for, you know, the winter. So this is a great option. And the birds there, you know, you can learn some stuff about birds too.
And it's really beautiful, I want to say.
It's gorgeous.
The pictures are unbelievable of the different birds. Is there any sort of online component to this, or is this strictly a board game?
There is an online component, actually. Through this game portal that I mentioned before, Steam, you can play Wingspan online. They have a great little version of it there.
That one is called Wingspan. Another board game is Codenames. Is this?
Yeah, so Codenames is a classic.
Okay. Tell me about the classic.
Cool. So basically the idea is you have two teams that are kind of competing against each other in this guessing game, where one player on each team gives hints to help identify words on the board. But the tricky part there is that a lot of the words are kind of similar. They have similar themes, so your hints may apply to multiple words. And the goal is to not choose your opponent's words, because then you're uncovering their, you know, their code names.
Who do you think this game is good for? Who's it geared toward?
I think this is really kind of an all ages game. Okay. I guess maybe not all ages. You know, I think, preteen, teens, and upward.
My guest is Nicole Carpenter from Polygon. She's a senior reporter there, and she has picked out a few games that will keep us occupied when we have to hunker down this winter. So this is so interesting to me. It's Tabletop Simulator. I'll let you explain what it does.
Right. Tabletop Simulator is basically what it says as the name. It allows you to simulate tabletop games. This means that you can simulate games that exist, classic games, but it also allows players to kind of make their own games and to let other people try those games. It's really a fascinating tool.
Well, what kind of games does it offer?
All sorts of games. There are games that maybe you and I have never heard of on there that other people are trying out. And it's got a bunch of classic games, chess, games like that, games that are ubiquitous that everyone's played.
Why do you think this is a good option for gaming this winter?
If you don't have a store of board games at home, it's really easy to get them online on Tabletop Simulator. And that's what makes it really accessible and really, really cool to try out. And it's playing it in a new way. It kind of reinvents what we know of as board games by allowing them to be playable on your PC.
You have something on the list that is almost a classic, I would say, Minecraft.
Yeah, Minecraft is also a classic. But I think it's become really important during this quarantine period, because people are doing such fascinating things with the world. They're recreating, using kind of a Lego brick style of building that Minecraft offers to create public spaces that maybe they miss. I saw there were some schools recreated in Minecraft. There are public parks. And the fun of it is that you can build anything you want. And you can do it with your friends as well. So if there's something you miss, you want to create your own new hangout space for your friends, you can do that in Minecraft. And that's the fun part, is building that.
There's a team of Minecraft users who have spent 10 years building Middle Earth. It's actually been around a decade. Why do you think Minecraft has stuck around the way it has?
I think it's because there's so much that it offers. You really can create anything that you can think of. If you think of it, you can build that in Minecraft, and you can do really weird things, and you can do massive art installations there. And just the ability to do whatever you want just spans so far.
Another video game you have on here is different, but it's immersive and sort of world exploring. It's called Assassin's Creed Valhalla. This is the latest game
right.
in a major franchise. It includes a double of other video games. Netflix is making it into an animated show. It was even a movie starring Michael Fassbender, which we looked up and only had 18% on Rotten Tomatoes. So what is the premise behind this whole series?
Right. So Assassin's Creed is this really long-running series, but the core of this game is it's kind of a Viking simulator. It comes out tomorrow, so it's very new. But it's got this gorgeous, gorgeous world. It's based in Norway and England, and you just kind of go around doing Viking things, and it's one you can go really, really deep into. It's a solo game, so, you know, not something that's going to be wonderful for your social life, but it's easy to get really immersed in it.
Okay, I have to ask, follow up. What do you mean Viking things?
Basically raiding. There's some raiding, you know, you go in, you get some gold, you take silver from people, that kind of thing. It's not necessarily a children's game, is what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha. Okay. My guest is Nicole Carpenter from Polygon. She's a senior reporter. She put together this list of games for us. Your next video game pick is Man of, how do I say this?
Medan.
Man of Medan, which has been described as, quote, interactive storytelling.
Yeah. This one's really cool because it's a survival horror game, and so it's got this really great story. But the thing that makes it so cool are these two modes that it has called shared story mode and movie mode. In the shared story mode, you can play online with another player and share control of the characters and, you know, make those decisions yourself that push the story forward. In movie mode, you can do that with a larger number of players who are in the same room together and kind of pass the controller along. So it's interesting in that way that you kind of are building this experience together and choosing how the story plays out in a really interactive way.
I want to ask you one big picture kind of question. You have like Assassin's Creed model where they're adapting games into movies and shows. And then there's this other genre video game with cinematic qualities built into them where they're even hiring Hollywood actors and voice characters. I'm sure people have seen ads for these. How do the success rates compare between these two approaches of making video games more like movies?
I think making movies about video games hasn't been too successful yet, but making video games that have this cinematic feel has been really interesting to see. And I think people like that, especially when it's in a new format like Man of Medan, that lets you play in a new way. It has a new feature that works really, really well. And that's why people like it.
Nicole Carpenter is Polygon's senior reporter. She put together this great list for us of video games in real life, board games, I say in real life, and video games that we can hunker down with this winter. Nicole, thank you so much for creating this list for us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm happy to.